This is the Steve Cochran Show.
One of the main questions was that we'd say to a young man, you're in a huddle and it's the end of the game, and Phil calls a play, and it's a play that is designed for somebody other than Michael. And you get out on the floor, and Michael says, the heck with that. Just get me the damn ball, and I'll win it. And I said to the youngster, what would you do? And if the youngster told me he was going to listen to Michael, then I didn't want him. Because the idea was to listen to coach. And we had to have guys who would respect the team and respect Michael at the same point.
Jerry Krause, 2009 interview here. Sam Smith has seen more Bulls basketball than Benny the Bull. And has written about it like nobody else for years and years and years. And knew Jerry and knew him well. And even though he was a pain in the behind, Sam, where do you rank him in that Bulls dynasty of the 90s?
Well, he was the CEO of the company that had record earnings, in effect. You know, he
well
wasn't
put.
The owner, Jerry Reinsdorf, but he was the one managing it. And so, you know, we often... Actually, it's all ironic. Jerry was a big fan of Harry Truman's. Used to go to his presidential library on summer's vacations
right.
A lot. Yeah, and it was sort of a classic buck stops here. You know, it wasn't his idea to do everything. Some things he agreed with, disagreed with, but he was the one who made the final decision. And so when you were in that position, you deserve the credit for what occurred because you're going to get the blame for what occurs. And they won six titles, and they were one of the great dynasties in the history of all sports. Certainly the most successful Chicago team ever. And so, he deserves the credit as the architect of that. You know, Michael Jordan, obviously, you couldn't have done it without Michael Jordan.
Sure.
But people forget it was 7 years before he won a title, and in his first 10 playoff games, he lost nine of them. Not that he lost them, but the team lost them.
Right.
Organizations win championships, not individuals, right?
Right, right, right. Talking to Sam Smith. What? And I say this with all due respect, and I didn't know Jerry well, but certainly talked to him a million times. And what held him back from getting more respect, his personality or his looks?
It wasn't really either of those as much. First of all, it's hard, obviously, in that sort of job. But it was two big things that worked against Jerry, and it wasn't the way he looked. Now, it didn't help the way he acted a lot. It's sort of like President Trump.
Right.
You know, if you tell the media every day they're stupid and they're jerks, and you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. Jerry didn't have a good relationship, you know, with a lot of us in the media, but for understandable reasons, he believed. Now, it was his view. He believed, and that was the one difficulty, you know, for Jerry, is that he was a very private person, being a scout. You know, not necessarily complete. You know, I'm talking about social. I didn't know that part. I mean, I knew him well, but his job was to be a scout, and he took it as a very secretive thing that. You know, we're all competition for these players.
Right.
And so you can't know what I'm doing and what I'm thinking. And it, you know, it's like one GM told me, Jerry views his job as a covert operation. famously nicknamed by Pat Williams, the sleuth.
Yeah.
Literally would go around, hide behind, pillars in arenas when he was scouting a certain guy. And, you know, loads of famous stories of, you know, players who were brought in on their secret, you know, names and midnight workouts and all sorts of wacky stuff. And so if you then get put in a public job to be the face of the organization and your spokesman for the organization, because that's essentially what the GM is, that's very contrary sort of situation. And that's Jerry was not. While he was equipped to be a great scout and an analyzer of personnel, he wasn't. Just because you get a job doesn't mean you can do all elements of that job.
Amen.
And that was difficult for Jerry, and it just wasn't something he did. But the other part was, you get this who became came to be regarded as the greatest player ever, Michael Jordan. And he's a very impatient, becomes a very impatient person for obvious reasons. He goes to North Carolina, wins a title in his first year, he makes the shot, comes to Chicago with a poor team that's been out of the playoffs for most of the last 7 or 8 years, and is in a rebuilding situation. And Jerry, back then, they didn't have free agency like they do now. You couldn't recruit the next best player.
Right.
And Jerry was also a plotter in the way he did things through the draft very slowly. And that clashed with Michael, who not only wanted immediate results because he's being compared to Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, you know, all these guys, Julius Erving, are winning titles. You know, he's on the team just barely making the playoffs, and Jerry's getting rid of all the, quote, best players, the veteran players on the team. He's turning them over for draft picks. And so you're not going to win a battle. You know, I learned that at different times, too, in the public by being on the opposite side of Michael Jordan.
Right.
So those two elements made it difficult for, you know, Jerry to get, you know, during his tenure with the Bulls, the credit that he would deserve, you know, or should be forthcoming to him, you know, based on for what the team accomplished.
Sam, what should be remembered as his signature move? Was it drafting Scottie and Horace? Was it making Phil the head coach? Was it trading for Rodman? Any one of those?
Jed Bushler,
Luke Longley. Any one in particular you think should take precedence?
You know, it was a Pippen one, but not so much the drafting of Pippen, because by that time he had broken through. He went to the Portsmouth. He wasn't well known during that season, and Jerry was famous for. He would try to do this. He would try to get the players, you know, to disappear. I know. He tried to get Pippen, like, to go to Hawaii so other teams couldn't see him or something. And I remember him, Dan Marley had told me, Jerry told him before the draft, or, you know, he'd scouted him. He said, you know, if you don't go in any draft workouts and don't see any teams, we can get you with a third-round pick. And he said, well, Jerry, if I do, I'm going to be a first-round pick. Why would I do that? You know, but Jerry's view was, we can hide you and I'll get you. But what he did was, and that frustrated Michael, but,
sure.
You know, they had a guy named Juwan Oldham, you may remember,
who
was
sure.
A pretty good shot-blocking center, seven-footer. I think he led the league in blocks one season with the Bulls, or maybe with another team. He jumped around a lot, but, you know, a marginal role player. But the Knicks always, and you know, from now then, we're always on, we got to win now. And so he traded Oldham to the Knicks for a draft pick. The draft pick became number 8 in that draft in 87. Then he was able to flip that pick to Seattle and get Pippen. So it was really that move with Oldham, you know, and that was the kind of thing he was doing, and that was the kind of thing he was best at. But these are very subtle kind of things. And even at the time, I think he was criticized for it because he traded a guy who goes on, you know, to be a productive NBA player while he's got a draft pick, you know, 2 years later. And so, you know, a lot of people, fans, weren't looking kindly at this, neither was Michael Jordan. But so that was the key to that draft. And then obviously getting, you know, Scottie, but also Hart. You know, and that was sort of an interesting element, you know, the CEO thing. He wanted Joe Wolf in that draft. And all the coaches, Doug Collins was head coach, and Phil was on the staff, and Tex Winter, his guy, they're all lobbying for Horace Grant. They said, we need the athlete. But Jerry was really close with Dean Smith, and he was always really loyal to his mentors. And so Dean Smith is pushing him to take his player, Joe Wolf. And so I remember before the draft, he met with Dorf, who told him, look, all your staff, you know, wants Horace Grant. You're the GM. You pick who you want. That's
your job.
Your job. And so Jerry ends up picking Horace Grant. Not that he disliked Horace, but anyway, it was the point, and that was sort of the point about the CEO. It wasn't his initial choice of everything, but he considered all the evidence, considered all the communication. You know, he famously got criticized in 98 for saying organizations win championships, sort of misinterpreted thing.
I remember that.
But the point was, it was a team, it was a collective effort, and he believed in that and worked with these people. And you know, that draft was a key. Again, Rodman, he had this saying, two things he always talked about when he got the job. One was OKP, we're only going to take our kind of people, you know, his acronym, meaning high-character people, and we're going to improve by addition, by subtraction. We're going to get rid of all these guys, you know, who are a lot of guys with drug problems, Quentin Daly and Eunice Watley and Orlando Woolrich, and had a team full of guys who had problems. Good people, but guys with problems.
And all rehab
so
team.
It took 3 or 4 years to work that out. And in the midst of it, Michael is, you know, winning MVP, winning Defensive Player of the Year, and getting creamed in the playoffs and screaming for help. You know, get me this guy, get me that. And so Jerry's sort of caught in the middle of it and not a particularly good, you know, not particularly articulate, because that's not who he was.
I remember, and I'll let you go on this, but I remember my lasting impression to Jerry the last time I talked to him was 6 championships, most successful team in Chicago history. I just wish he was having more fun. So I guess, you know, for his family and everything else, I hope he had some fun in the middle of all of that.
Yeah, you know, I think in recent years, really, you know, and I think he is going to get in the Hall of Fame, because there's been sort of an outpouring among media, sort of rediscovering him. And
which is good.
I know there's been a lot of media written that he's been overlooked for the Hall of Fame, and they've made a big mistake. And so I think it'll happen. It's unfortunate, you know, that he won't be a joy. But I think he came to understand that, you know, he was appreciated for what he'd done, as often happens, you know, after the fact. You know, it happens with presidents. You know, Harry Truman, when he got out of office, was considered one of the worst presidents in history, and then they made movies about him.
There's one guy, though, that I'm not sure it'll change down the road, but enough about Trump. Sam, it is always a pleasure, and thanks for the memories, and thanks for the great work you continue to do. Bulls website, right?
Thank you. Yeah, bulls.com.
Thanks, buddy. Sam Smith.